today, and we can move along, hopefully. Notification of the meeting being audio recorded. Please, if, I think we haven't had trouble with names, speak clearly and speak loud enough that the recording shows you up. Review of the minutes. Michelle, review of the minutes.
You normally just ask for approval.
As the minutes.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
I move we approve the minutes.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Both, same sign? Okay. Public comments?
We have no request for public comment.
No request? Okay. At the time I did the agenda, there was an outstanding request for the Analytics Committee and the Expense Deployment Committee. I'll let the Analytics Committee respond, and then I have the response from the deployment.
Okay, do you want me to go ahead and just give my report for the Analytics Committee, or just?
I think we have the report down below.
Okay, that's fine. So, actually, we've gotten quite a bit of stuff from Dr. Brown related to the analytics request. There are a few outstanding requests for data prior to November 1st out of the Taleo system, but besides that, I think we, from our last meeting, when I give my report for the Analytics Committee, I think you'll see that we're gonna come online with what we need to do our job.
Okay. And for the Deployment Committee, we received today a response. I will tell you it's 80-85% there, but Ms. Jenkins also, if she's sitting there, and I recognize her, she's not in her baseball cap today. She did allude that some of the budget information would be forthcoming as we got into the reports. So I think we're closing in on our questions. The next step will be to work out a smooth flow so that we monitor without a lot of massaging of the data, but she's given us a lot of the data to do that. That's from a 1 hour review of the data.
Our reports, the format of our current reports that are available differs from what you've requested. So what we provided was the information in the format we currently have available. And as we continue to move forward with our report development.
The only thing I don't want to fix this now is how we fold. You did give us budget information on the supplemental dollars and how we fold that back to the total budget. But we can work that out. There's nothing. So we have a response from both committees. I think it's a substantial response. The next thing is just administrative. Let me pass these around. We've got to get these terms staggered. I don't know if I make this an even split or not. If not, if I've got too many going that way, kind of around. And we don't have everybody, we're gonna have to just do some assignments. But not everyone's here. Brady, I don't know, did I get enough on this side of the table? Okay. The terms, if you take the 1 year term, write a 6 over that and a 6 over the 3 years. And 5 over 2. That's our target.
Oh.
Yes, ma'am?
No, I was just like, I'm writing 5, 6, 1 over 2.
No, on top of columns.
Oh, okay.
People,
sorry.
Not yours.
Yeah. Oh, I get it. Okay. Got it.
And you'll see those that have not. We only have Dr. Steiner, Aaron Hoover, he's here, and he can let us know. Tim's here. Linda is here, and Charlie Tokow will get a sign if he didn't show up pretty quick. So I guess the first, yes, sir.
No, so you just want us to volunteer to fill the columns, or?
Yeah, just for those of you here, we have openings in the 1-year and 3-year columns.
I think because of Pat and Deanna are by default 3 years, so we can add them to the 3-year.
What I was going to do.
Right.
That's a slot that's permanent.
Right.
So we're only gonna assign 5 people. I thought that's a permanent assignment for not Pat and Deanna, but for the position.
If I'm not in it, whoever's me.
That's why I was suggesting that by default.
I think, or that's my interpretation. Does anybody see different?
Chairman Christopher, your charter says that your committee will consist of 9, the maximum of 18 members, and the term shall be 6, 6, and 6.
Six, six, and six?
Yes.
Yeah.
So there may be one, but we're only 17, depending.
Correct.
Right, so we just have to leave an open slot.
Right. I would like to volunteer, since I haven't indicated previously, the 3-year term.
Okay.
And this is Tim Novak. I'd like to volunteer for the 1-year slot, because I am the chairman-elect of Drug Free Manatee, and next year I'll be tied up with that.
Oh, no, you can't go.
Well, a 1-year term can get reappointed, too, if you know, but I'm not presuming that you might go off.
I'll do the 1-year.
Linda?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that leaves Richard Connor and Charlotte Tokar, so. We'll put Connor.
What do you want?
On one, and Tokar's on. On 6.
On 3.
Three. I'm sorry.
On 3, Charles?
3. I don't know what I said.
6.
6 is the number above.
And then we have the open slot, which will, you can either put the open slot at 3 years and Charlie at 2, or vice versa.
We can do, right.
I know, so you're not here, you get 3 years?
We'll put him at 3 right now.
Stop that.
Okay.
Kennard?
Yes. I'll give you, if you can read my code.
Connor was under which?
1.
1, put him under 3, right?
1.
Oh, you put him under 1, okay.
Yeah.
All right, if I can have this, that'd be great. Thank you.
RC is Richard Connor, right?
Yes.
So, Mr. Chair, I would suggest that we show ahead, now that we have our list, that somebody read these into the record, so we have them as part of the transcript of the year selection. So we go ahead and read. You have it, Steve?
I think I do.
All right.
Your terms are.
Good, thank you.
Larry Simmons, Norm Nelson, Diana Dill, Tim Novak, Linda, and Richard Kennard. The 2 years, David, Bob Christopher, myself, Robert Stinnell, Susan Harrigan, and the open slot is a 2-year term. And then the 3-year term, John Horn, Brady Chapman, Pat Barber or her successor, Deanna Howell or her successor, Garen Hoover, and Charlie Tokars.
Right. Good.
Thanks.
Okay. Next item, new business, is the presentation that we prepared for the board. Rightfully so, the board has had a full plat. I don't know this, they have another pretty full platter in January. I don't know that it'll take a long time. I guess we'll have to ask the board if it will fit their schedule in January. I heard in listening to the last board member that the February meeting's gonna be at the convention center.
Well, the one of them, there are two each month, so I believe that, what is it, the 22nd?
26th.
26th.
26th date will be, right now, looking like it's at the convention center.
Is that a regular board meeting?
It's a regular board meeting, but if we go there for the workshop or anything prior, we can't set up in two locations.
No, I understand.
Yes, sir.
And we could, I think we've always proposed that our presentation probably fits with the workshop better than the general meeting.
So we could look at a possible, either, I would say maybe the 12th. We have a February 12th that would be in the regular board room, so we could look. If they don't feel like they can get it on this one, we can move it to that one.
Okay, is that acceptable for the committee to propose that? We'll have to see what the board thinks. Okay. The Communication Transparency Committee, Diana, I don't know what you have.
Yes. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm reporting the Communication Transparency Committee did meet and discuss the reporting structure and what we would like to have for our dashboard, really, is what we're looking for. We wanna make sure that what we establish is something that the data analytics will follow and the metrics will be established, and however we do that, we would like to get that in place within the next few months so that all the data that we are retrieving, we can report clearly to the community and have that moving forward. So that is our goal, is to still build the dashboard. I think Dr. Novak mentioned that from the first meeting, that we thought ideally it would be something that would be clean and easy to use for communication moving forward on an ongoing basis.
Right. It'll be a little later, but are you envisioning the dashboard to be the same dashboard that the district is maintaining?
That's the exact same question I was wondering. Is it a different dashboard, or is it the same configuration that we were working on? Or did you want us to work in concert?
Ideally, I think working in concert would be the most efficient model to move forward.
Yeah.
We just wanted to make sure, as far as communication, that we were working with our data analytics, what they're looking at and gathering, so we're not duplicating efforts.
Right.
And then making sure that it's the same thing that you're measuring as well, so.
She has started, the district has started a dashboard. All we have is the revenue slice right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought maybe that we expand that, and then we'll think about other programs. Dr. Hopes made a presentation to a civic group yesterday. It was well-received, and I think we tamped down a lot of this dissension among the board, because I feel like the board came together a lot, if you're like me. So I think we'll have to think about delivering the message to the community. I think the dashboard is right, and it gives a certain amount of credentials to the information. I think we'll also have to think about ways to carry the message to the community.
So maybe we'll reach out, Heather, we'll work with Diana Dill, if you're the point person, and making sure that we're capturing the same thing.
Right.
I do think that makes sense, so that there's not a duplication, and we're all kinda saying the same thing and picking up.
That's absolutely right. My idea, this comes from the old management letter criticism, we want to always, I envision us vetting anything that we report to you first. We may have a disagreement of opinion, but I don't want the facts to be different.
We are closing the month of November, so in January, we should be able to update the spend portion with the information through November 2019.
Okay. You may already have some ideas of format, too, but we wanna make it simple and clean.
Yes, we do. We have a couple of mockups that we can send, and you guys, we can get together and look at your ideas and our ideas and come up with something in the middle.
That sounds good. we can coordinate the next committee meeting possibly at the school board.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. Okay. Communication Transparency Committee, that you, sorry, then check that off. I'm behind. Mrs. Barbara, the contract negotiations have been solidified now.
No, our next meeting's January 7th.
January 7th. Does that mean this would be approved?
No, that's in place. That's the salary schedule that's in place. What's up for negotiation is any raises that will be in addition to that.
Okay. All right, so I guess it'll be February before we do the contract calculation. All right. That's what it is. And that'll be the same for the...
Yes.
Yeah, yes.
Mine is, I'll go back to January 9th.
January?
Yes, 9th.
Okay. Thank you. Planning for publication, the website, I think we probably covered that. We coordinate with the district. I thought I had your report in here.
I can give it if you'd like.
If you, yes, I would, because we've made progress there.
So it's Tim Novak with the Analytics Committee. I'm going to give the report on behalf of our chairman, Robert Stenell, who could not be here with us today. But, so we met on December 11th. We had a two-hour subcommittee meeting. Robert was there, Garen, John Horn, and myself. Charles and Brady were unable to attend. We had other advisory committee members there. Mr. Christopher and Pat Barber were there. And we were joined by district leadership, Dr. Sarah Brown from the Human Resources. And I'd like to thank her for being there and the work she put into that just to get us ready for that meeting. So I'm going to start kind of 30,000 foot to again take a look at what purpose of this committee is and what we're looking to do. First of all, it's exciting because in analytics you have to have stuff to look at in order to analyze. So it's you know, now we're seeing some data come in and now we've got to figure out where we need to focus. So Dr. Brown presented and discussed with the committee a series of the school district reports that can be generated at the request of the committee. They're generated on the district's Taleo Oracle database system. And the system's primary focus is talent acquisition, performance management, learning and development, and compensation management. That's what that particular system does. It's been around for a long time, and it's obviously a relational database and a good blocker and tackler. So the focus of the committee is to identify changes and trends of the Manatee County School System data related to those specific areas impacted by the millage, by the referendum. So this is our charge, and so what we want to do is then bring those trends or what's happening to the full committee, talk about what we see moving, what it does, and then we can talk about it, and as Garen we talked about, we'll make inferences as to maybe what that means. I think it's essential to understand that in when we do, we practice scientific method in research, is that what we have to do is that causation and correlation is a very difficult standard to reach. What we do is that we see what happened. The beauty of numbers is that they are what they are. So then we'll decide, and then we'll try to communicate clearly through that what we think we saw, you know, or what we think is happening, but the community ultimately will decide the value proposition of this referendum. This is what this committee was formed to oversee and make sure that it's doing the things we do. And so we're going to focus in on the people that are getting the monies, the teachers and the bus drivers and all the other people, the STEM education, all those areas that should be receiving these funds. So I was excited. We really looked at four different reports to start out with by job category. And that, first of all, we looked at the number of vacancy by job group. So, you know, one of the concerns of the community was there was open spots at the beginning with teachers and other things. So we want to see, even in this short period of time, whether there was any effects associated with that. not only, in all categories, instructors, paraprofessionals, teachers, non-bargaining, all the different categories. So we took a look at that. There's different methodologies that we will decide as a committee and be able to share with you as taking a look at absolute change in numbers or whatever else, but we looked at initially percent change. That's what we're interested in, one period of time to the next period of time. And the period of time we looked at was November 1st through December 10th. That was the period of time. The reports that HR runs are not everyday reports, they run them periodically, and so what we want to do is try to, just like a balance sheet type of a thing, that point in time we want to set so that we're measuring the same time each month, and so we get some consistency with that. So, but some of the categories I would change here, or would report on here, is that the ME teachers, November 1st, vacancies by group were 37, and then as of December 10th, that number was 22. So if we look at a percent change on that one, that's significant, 40%, you know, there. So now, to say, oh, that's a result of the referendum, no, there's job fairs, there's timing, everything is timing, and there's other things that will affect this. It's important to understand, too, what we're going to have to do is report on significant events, like opening of schools or whatever. There'll be a big void of teachers until they're hired and other people associated with it. But we're looking for general direction as to how things are progressing. By the way, these will all be in the Dropbox where we look at stuff, and you're welcome to take a look at it. Another report we looked at was understanding better the vacancies posted to public view. So these are things I didn't actually understand the view, how it worked, and Dr. Brown explained, is that when a position is posted, it stays up for a finite period of time, 5 or 7 days or whatever it is. And then many of them move to hiring managers who then process and do this, and then they go on a different little holding pen. And then whether they actually accept or a deal can be cut, they go into this sort of this area of that. So there's two different reports there, posted for public view, and then closed to public view pending hiring manager activity or action. So again, we have to understand this is a very fluid, a lot of people coming and going, and so that point in time, that's only for that moment in time. We also looked at, there was detail that was down to schools, you know, which schools were, as far as requisitions of teachers and paraprofessionals, etc. Every school has it, so we actually can take a look at which schools are struggling to fill and which ones are doing a little bit better. Same thing with the table 3 that would be in there in your packet that you can look online, is that the AFS CME positions, these are your bus drivers and the bus aides, etc. They have to use a float type of thing as far as these people being hired, because they change over so much, so they kind of have a marker of 25 for bus drivers, right? So now there may be 22 that day, there may be 6 or whatever, but in general they have a holding, say that they're trying to hire 25 people at any given time. So some of these, in order for the efficacy of what they're doing and trying to keep it, are not exact numbers, they're a range, but they're not, it's not every category, it's just the ones that have the highest turnover. So we also looked at another category because we wanted to, in addition to just numbers of people, take a look at where we're moving with quality. In that, so the number of teachers who receive best and brightest scholarships, we looked at that report, and that what this is highly effective teacher based on ACT, SAT scores above the 80th percentile. They get a certain amount of bonusing, $6,000. And then highly effective outside of the ACT, SAT scores, and then effective. Each one of these has a different thing. So I took a quick look at it. We looked at it, and that we saw some movement here that I actually reported on, is that we had an overall total, the difference between 17-18 and 18-19. And then understand that the 18-19 still is preliminary. They have to do the validity, eligibility, and all these things, but this is what's projected. And so it went from 2,292 total that would receive to 2,399, so a net increase of 107 that actually get doing a little bit better. It's a very litmus test of quality of the teachers. Now, there may be other things that are affecting that and some things that were done, but the reality is that we see a movement there. And that between the periods, if we looked at it right now, the percent change to, is that the effective was down from the previous, smaller group in the effective, 35%, but the highly effective went up by 33%. So it's kind of, that's where they, we follow the trend as well. So I think there was a nice trend there, not only total number of people that are eligible to it, but moving, gravitating from effective to the highly effective. That was the biggest migration. So where are we going now? So we asked Dr. Brown if she could advise the committee on specific data elements that can be derived or queried from the Taleo system. So for me as a researcher, I want to look at what are the data elements we can query, you know, and so I think she's working on that to try to, hopefully that's not a phone book size document. And then we're also working, what we want to do is that we want to do primary source query of those people that we're talking about here. And then do that through a short perceived value survey to Manatee County employees that are within the referendum groups as to if they're hired or leave us. Why is it? And then what is the relative effect? Did the referendum dollars have any impact on you staying or going? You know, so that way we can add that, and then we can start correlating that against the trends and data here, and it will give us a little bit more of a robust test. Begin to establish standard database methodology for reporting mechanisms to describe outcomes. You know, does the data reflect trends relative to improvements in the key areas where the referendum is being spent? That's what we want to report on. We've asked for some data, you know, before 11-1, but quite frankly, I'm more interested in the go-forward data myself. But if somebody thinks we need to dip down in that, I'd rather take a look at the path forward. So let's see, we talked about an original climate survey conducted by Dr. Green and the Resolve. Remember, we may want to revisit that and see what that is. And that's it. That's kind of what we talked about. So it's exciting. We're off. The committee is in full swing. I mean, we're doing our stuff. You put numbers in front of me. I got something to look at. And then what we want to do is translate, help translate to simple English. And then there are so many variables that affect whether a person stays or goes, whatever else. Quality of classroom, instruction environment, all these other things. But we're going to, our job as analytics is to try to focus in on those elements that may be affecting related to referendum dollars that add to that decision to stay or to come. That's what we're really trying to do. And for those who leave, understand why they're leaving and see if those other things, but I don't think many would leave because of the fact they're getting referendum dollars. So, yes.
I just want clarification. Are we saying that then moving forward we would have an exit interview that would include a survey for these employees?
Good question. I can't do it. I can work through HR. They've done it, but we're talking about designing one, and that it has to be designed in a method that we can extrapolate out of, like a Qualtrics where it can't be double-barreled, can't be anything. We have to, I wouldn't be able to extrapolate data so that, and it's gotta be simple, because listen, people are on their way out, you're talking about 10 questions maybe, or five or something. But when I'm really interested in the ones that are coming too, those, why did you come here? Did you even know about the referendum? Did it help? You know, and if they say, I came here because of it, well, that may get a higher score on our little like arc that we're trying to establish or whatever. So we're trying to bring meaning to it, and that. But I think that survey, that primary source data, is very important, because in research that is very valuable, because you're getting it from the people mm-hmm. that are doing it.
Excellent.
Did I forget it? Did I do it?
No, you got it all perfectly. I think what you had asked for, that I circle back with our IT team, because the next time you all want to. They may be able to join and help.
That would be great.
So that you can ask those questions and we can kind of dig down to get what you want on that survey or that kind of information if possible.
Very good. So I think getting a standard set of reports is going to be key. So we're not always right. doing, we should be looking, it's pretty much the same thing. And then if we, oh, we need that too, then we can do it. But once we get our set, that it should be easy. Push the button and it comes out.
I agree. I like it. One other question I have is, you mentioned the highly effective teachers and effective teachers. Is that a metric that we'll be monitoring as well? Is that going to be part of the dashboard? That, so it is one of the goals for the referendum is to be able to improve.
Improve quality, I think it is too, and that, so I think that this is another way of recognizing quality, you know, because this is, you know, when they do the evaluation, you know, the teachers, whether they're effective or not, that's what we're looking for.
But I thought they really didn't understand how they became that. Wasn't there something that, they didn't understand the
Measurement?
The way, yeah, the measurement that the state did.
The growth score.
There was something confusing.
I'll let Pat address that.
Yeah, there's something.
The state growth score.
Yeah.
We're working on that.
Oh, they're working on it, okay.
Outside of the scope of the committee.
Okay.
That concludes my report, Mr. Chairman, and fellow.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's good. Michelle, I think I produced the revenue and expenditure comparison, and it's the same document that's in the financial report on the school board website. But I think it's in our folders, is that right? It didn't get distributed, I don't think, with the.
Our monthly, you're referring to, it's the same document as our monthly financial reports?
Yeah, I just produced it. My idea was, and you may have it and put it in PDF for publication, I don't know. I just took it in PDF and took it back to Excel. And my thought was that I would keep just the operating budget, which is what we're focused on, keep it in Excel format for future analytical information. We can add columns, we compare, we can calculate, and keep up with the budget adjustments that just affect the accounts of the one mill referendum. I was trying to boil it down to a working document that we'll keep in our folder and keep those.
The only issue I see with the format of having it just in function and object is the referendum dollars are tracked by what we call a program. So within function and object for instruction, you'll see every general fund account that is associated with that. And in order to separate out the referendum dollars, you have to have that program. So we can provide the information to you in the format that you've requested.
I was going to talk, you provided us with the detail of the referendum dollar expenditures.
I did, yes, sir.
And you gave us and revenue. And that's in the package you submitted. And I was going to work with you as to how we might track that or not track it and be able to calculate it.
Yes.
But the other thing I wanted to do was call out, the budget adjustments are a confusing process if you haven't been through it. And sometimes you start comparing oranges with apples. So I wanted to track by reporting period the budget adjustments that hit our accounts, just so that we have some scope of what's going on.
I have a report, I believe, that I can drill down by the program.
Okay.
To just specifically show you those. Let me.
All right. Well, we can work that out. It's in the report, but it hasn't been posted yet. For. And
the one we post is a very large report that only reports on any change over 5%.
Right.
So if you want to see every budget adjustment, I can.
No, that's what we're talking about, is the large changes.
Gotcha.
So that we're able to understand. The thing we get this year, we got a report that said wage instruction's up 22%. It's up 22% because you're looking at a fully loaded budget versus last year's actual expenditures. That doesn't make a lot of sense. It's calculated, right? But it's those type of things that we can be able to answer your questions. That's why I tried to start this history. Now, it may be that you can smooth out that reporting. It takes me about an hour to convert it back to Excel. So. I thought you did. You had it in Excel and put it in PDF.
To post it on the website, we have to do a PDF.
You just see if you can.
Yeah. We'll work that. But that's the reason for that report that I was trying to get to. And we'll put it, if we can put a folder up, Steve, where we have just that and have it in a date format so that they fall in order.
Excuse me, Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Quick question for the data and analytics. You had mentioned the best and brightest and mm-hmm. highly effective. So you're going down in one and up in the other, almost identical numbers. Mm-hmm. Are we able, and not to get into possibilities instead of probabilities, mm-hmm. but are we able to track where those newly best and brightest are coming from? Like, can we in the data say, this person was highly efficient this time last year, now this year they're best and brightest, or?
It has to be, right? I mean, they're individuals.
Well, actually, if they were highly effective last year, they were best and brightest last year too, so. You're asking for the people who were not highly effective last year. What was the change?
Yeah.
Who were the changes?
From effective.
What people changed?
Well, not what people, but, you know, not because I don't really care who it was, but where is the movement coming from? Is it coming from?
Yeah, so the original report here, so highly effective has been around for a while, right? But if you go back to 2015-16 academic year, highly effective, regardless of ACT, didn't exist as a category, nor did it in 16-17. So, and effective, the same thing. So the highly effective, regardless of ACT score and effective, really are showed up in 17-18.
Well, right? You know, there's two categories under best and brightest now. In 15-16, the only category was the scholarship.
Understood.
So that's
Tim's
talking about now.
Understood. And I mean kind of more forward-looking than what we have. It's just knowing whether we're having teachers just enter or not, just enter our district, and then they're rock stars as opposed to someone who's been...
Yeah. No, I think it's good. It's a trend data, and then I think we'll try to take a look at it, because it'd be nice if somebody progressed from effective to highly effective to highly effective ACT, SAT, made that trend. That would be sort of a...
Well, that's one of the things that is that people need to understand. The way the legislation is written, brand new people to the district do not have to have an evaluation. They only have to meet the ACT, SAT score, and they can qualify for best.
Well, there you go.
So that also causes the numbers to be skewed.
And absolutely, that's one of those external factors that we have no idea what's going to happen.
That's right. So it could be just that we had more people who understood that they could qualify as a brand new teacher and apply for the scholarship.
That's true.
So all they have to do is show their scores.
Right. So those are all different categories of people. They didn't know, but they just knew they could apply for it because they're first year teachers. That's
so
a whole different bucket.
There are a lot
bucket.
Of caveats
yeah.
to this.
So you could drill down to this, and that way we don't want to, like I said, we don't want to jump to conclusions on what something means, but that's a great point, David, on that. The other thing I was going to mention while we had is that we also got the drop data. And this is the people that are like pending retirement within 5 years, right? So from a planning standpoint, there's a natural attrition that's going to take place, right? You're in the zone. And I guess you can go out any time within that 5 year period and good things happen. So it's but that gives us an idea.
Yes, you're retired.
How many but it also gives us to what as it's rolling, what we might expect from that. So if we have a particular year where there's a bunch that are could go out. So that's another piece. That's another piece of the puzzle that we have to try to put. But this is all little pieces of trying to do it. And then we have to decide what we believe doing, what's the effect of it, and then more importantly, what the community believes.
Thank you, Mr. Hogan.
You bet.
Thank you. Good. We're moving faster than I thought.
Oh, yeah.
Don't let us hold you up.
That's not a bad thing.
Yes, sir.
I do have a question for Dr. Brown on the best, the highly effective. Yeah. I just want to make sure I'm reading this correctly. So you have in that last column 2018-2019, but it's not referring to this school year, right? Because it's referring to the previous school year.
The previous
evaluations. The evaluations always come from the legislation. The data came from the year before, correct?
Right. So to me, it's a little bit, I think, it should either go by the school year that we're talking about with the teachers or label it October, 2018 when that results are coming out. Because to me, it seems like, when you say 2018-2019, it implies it's referring to this
that's
year.
That's when it's paying.
But why refer to a payment date, though, as 2 years when
you're
the payment...
the results period.
But, I guess the payment does come in spring of 2019, so I guess you go look at it that way.
Well, I think it's the way the legislation had named it, that because it was part of how we initiated in the 15-16 school years when it, I believe when it started, when it was first paid. But it was all based on the 14-15.
Yeah.
So the statute didn't begin until the 15-16, but by the way it's described, it had to have been done with the evaluation being the previous year. So that's the way they word it, is it's evaluations from the previous year are to be awarded for this timeframe. So it's in concert with the way the legislation notes it. It's for the 15-16, 16-17, 17-18, because it matters, because there's legislative changes in these. In other words, that's why it's noted on there that 17-18 was the first time in which they awarded highly effective and effective to other groups. So if we start to go back and not and do it by the date, that's not how the legislation reads. If someone's going back to look at that, that's just the formality of how it was presented and given.
The threshold for what you had to achieve in the SAT score.
They changed.
So Tim,
yeah.
When you first saw this report, though, did you appreciate the difference?
Well, probably not. I just looked for most current. You know, so what I'm interested in, what is the most current? And I kind of put in that bucket, but I'm a bucket guy, so I just put it in the bucket. The one closest to me, and then I'm comparing it with the one that's right next to it.
Yeah, so I just think, though, again...
But your point, Gary, is very, as far as accuracy and correctness, this is absolutely a footnote item where we got to say there are timing. The whole thing about this is timing issues that are driven by legislative action, all the other stuff. We have to be, this is not a clean cash-based business, you know, this is a tough thing to track.
Because whenever in the school system, when someone talks about a school year, they're talking, the 16-17, 17-18. But the way this is, I just think these, and again, this is kind of similar to our organizational chart with not having lines of who reports to who. It's along those same lines. I just think it would be more clarity by either putting it paid, you know, or scores calculated, and then what school year, maybe put school two columns.
I concur with you, Gary. I think we can go ahead and clarify it. I mean, the committee's having an effect on you. You're starting to think like an analyst.
Put notes for the explanation.
I've been thinking like this for a long time.
I think the data had a footnote where it said 17-18 was the first year it was taken, awarded the 1200 and the 800.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah.
So I kind of to try to give more information about how it bridges two different factors. That's why it gets where I mean I totally get the point. I'm just saying that it bridges two different ways, because you're talking about a school year in which it's going to be awarded, but the qualifications, except for what Pat just mentioned, if you're new to the district and came from out of state, or you came out of a school and you are a new graduate, you don't have to have scores from the previous year, because it really is within the year of that it's being awarded.
Yeah.
Because if they came from another state or all, and they have an SAT or ACT score that meets the 80th percentile, then they can be awarded that best and brightest scholarship. There are different rules for each one. Mm-hmm. So they're not in isolation. It's not just those that were here from the year before. It bridges both. So that's why I'm saying I think it'd be important to make footnote of when the evaluation piece of those are relevant to the year prior, but the data and its information is going to be looked at by the state and all for that school year. Or it's those who were in the school and part of that teacher population at the time during that particular school year that are awarded those monies. If you leave, you're not necessarily awarded the money.
Can
it's
I ask
that year.
A question?
Yes.
I like highly effective teachers and stuff, but is this something we need to be looking at, do you think? Is it within our charge? What does it have to do with millage money? So they get a bonus, then do we give them a higher percent because then their salary's up? So it doesn't matter.
No, it does. To the extent that the referendum dollars are resulting in higher, more higher qualified teachers coming in.
Okay, just that, right, okay, just from use, okay.
But Susan, like, yeah, those are the questions that have to be asked, because if it doesn't matter, listen, because this is, the beauty about this too is there's no emotion with it.
Right, I mean, I like teachers that are highly effective.
It doesn't matter. To me, I just.
Cross off the list, cross off.
Highly effective sounded better than effective.
No, I know, yeah, yeah, it does, yeah, but I just didn't know if we.
But until you see what data you can get, you don't know what data does matter.
Well, that's why I want to say, we're gonna drill down in this one, and we're gonna see, well, that'll be a topic. This is out of the Taleo system as well?
No, that is a, no, those are out of our teacher evaluation systems of what pulls those, that data, it's a separate system.
MyPGA.
Yeah, the MyPGA, it's a different data analysis.
So maybe we can talk about that next time.
Yeah, we sure can, it would be different.
And we'll report on that, and we'll make sure.
Make sure I understand?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
But yeah, we can try, it's simple.
Well, I want to say, Susan, I think a question like that, I think, is appropriate for us to always discuss.
Okay, but I mean, I just thought, am I missing something?
Don't ever feel, yeah, but, and it's, you know, and it should be articulated, and that goes for everything we do, you know, and one of the points that I brought up at the committee meeting is that, you know, the data that we're given, some of it is hard to even track, because you have different systems. You have all sorts of different things going on, and I had questioned, you know, the because if you're relying on data, but if the beginning number isn't accurate, well then, how do you draw inferences from the data? So we always have to be questioning the data that's being provided, and especially if we're looking from year to year. For example, and maybe you can help answer this, I thought the number 60-some vacancies, teacher vacancies that we had, was what was brought up in this meeting about, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago. Is that the number that we're sitting at today? Because these reports seem to be different, so did I miss here? Does everyone remember when we were told, does that sound about right, it was 60-some?
60. Yeah, 60. I just don't remember in that conversation if it was teachers or staff.
So how did it go from 60 vacancies, because we didn't hire that many people.
Oh yeah, we have.
So.
Oh yeah, we have.
So, okay, well, no, that's fair.
Yeah, and we didn't look too, we did not go back to the 60 at the beginning, because there were some, one of the things, if the data is not confident, at that point in time, there was an algorithm issue or whatever with that, and so it was grabbing things that shouldn't have, and it may have been inflated or deflated. But the numbers as of November 1st were confident in, right? So that's why we started.
And that's what we got to in the meeting, where we're going to pick a start.
We have to pick a start place, and that, I don't want, whether it's 60 or whatever, what I like is the fact that we're moving this way. We're looking, you know, again, when we talk about data, we talk about the shape of data. Positive slopes, negative slopes, leveling out, what we're trying to do. And so the idea is, the general trend is that we want quality up, and we want the risk factors down, and that's what we're looking at. As far as different reports too, once we find out what we can query, we're gonna go in there, and we may lay some in front of you, may say, listen, this is total nonsense, you know, but the reality is, if we think it could be valuable, we'll bring it to the big committee. We want input from that, so that the more, you know, the data that we can, the more different things that triangulate on the things that we're trying to figure out, create a more credible and understandable picture for the community. I think, for me, somebody tells me as an individual, that's one. When I can get all these other things that are coming in there that says, listen, we're a little better now than we were before because of these 10 things in these indicators.
Points.
Yeah, I think it helps, and that, and we'll get it. We'll be excited. I think about, you know, give us about 6 months from now.
Are you still going to be on the subcommittee?
I may be on it. Listen, you guys may kick me off after this meeting. This may be my last meeting here.
Mr. Liberty, your point, though, I will say, one of the things that you, I think one of the ones that you had that you might be speaking to was on the October one, and this is one of the things that we addressed, and that I addressed with you in the meeting, in the small meeting, was the October one had a 63 number. I think that's what you were looking at. Mm-hmm. What I was explaining is that there was some, I'll call it some mixed data in there when we were talking about the number of expired requisitions, in other words, that were in that churn of the fact that they were under being hired or they were in that process. but they were getting picked up as vacancies when they weren't really anymore a vacancy, because they were, they should have been pulled out of the mix.
They were in two categories. It was the, in the posted job and then being processed by management. It was grabbing all of it and then inflated it.
And so it inflated the number because you needed to pull out those that were in that hiring queue.
Yeah.
And because they were no longer relevant to being posted as a true vacancy, because they, something was happening to them. So that's why the October date was at 63, but when you looked at the November 1, it went to 37. And that was because we took out the, I'll call it that, that churning number of the of those that were already in the queue to be either hired, which a large portion were, or they could have been that that position was going to be taken off or no longer allocated for the job because the numbers didn't match or weren't necessary. So something that was posted at that time was not, it wasn't a true value. It was true in the sense that we had an allocated position for it and it was being picked up, but it wasn't reading what you were looking for, the apple to the apple. So that's why the November 1 date was the appropriate date to start with, that had the most accurate, where we're not churning in those two different mixes. It's only vacancies that are true vacancies being posted and are really accurate for how many you need to fill versus those that are in the pipeline. And the pipeline was getting mixed in, and that was why I was explaining we hadn't been able to disaggregate the data deeply enough until that time when I went back to the folks and said, look, this doesn't seem to be right. We're looking at one data point, but it's giving us something else, and there's something that's not correct. So that's why you saw that number and why it seems like, oh, there were 63, when the reality was that 63 was not potentially quite that high on October 1. It could have been 50 instead of the 63. And then it became 37 by November.
And that's why we started November after the, one of the things I'm really proud of, and as we're trying to find our identity as a committee in this community, is that this type of discovery of, you know, flaws in the system or whatever, you know, maybe our presence here helped ferret this out, you know. So the idea is that we help each other. We ask the question, not to be accusatory or whatever else, to say it doesn't quite make sense, or like David's saying, you know, how can we drill down and see what this really is made up of? And then it helps us, because then when the district itself understands really what's happening based on this, they can put the resources and energy toward those things and get it done. So I find it extremely exciting and purposeful as far as what we're here for, you know. Anyway.
No, that's absolutely right. And I might tell the other committee members there were certain anomalies in Deanna's data also, where they were using a fixed 25 person opening and so forth, because they'd always hire 24 more drivers if they could get them. There's some of those things that we're getting cleaned up going forward, but not to overlook your group yet.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Yeah. Deanna?
Yes.
I'm just curious, since you're the one with Ask Me and bus drivers, is it about 25 people right now that you guys are down in bus drivers?
Yes, that's what I heard from Mr. Wagner, 25.
Okay.
That's just drivers. I'm not sure of the monitors.
Right. Now, you would not know that without Mr. Wagner telling you that?
No.
Okay. And why is it? I'm just curious. Yeah. Why is that?
I'm not sure. I've asked for years and I never get a straight answer. I'm not sure if it's because they've broken down the routes or they broke them up so until they don't know just offhand, but.
Okay. See, and again, this is another, again, you know, it's just another example where it just boggles the mind that it's just odd to me. I find that odd, and I'm not being accusatory, but it just causes me to pause that information isn't available to her if she has to rely on some senior official to know that number. Right?
I would ask a bigger question, is that, is it possible for you to have 100% employment of bus drivers your entire department? Or once you get to that point, don't you continue to start looking at adding more? I guess the bigger question is, is that number right? Is there, are there really 25, or is it really close to 30? Because once we got the 25, we probably want five more, and once we got those five more, we probably get three more, start shortening kids' bus time, start, you know, so that's the better question.
All of these above.
That's right.
Well, I can address that just a little bit, but I think maybe helpful is that, and we will drill down a little bit more. I know Mr. Hoover brought that up at our meeting and all, and part of, we were explaining about how that part of what we did is built a pool, P-O-O-L, a pool, that's why the 25 is there.
Right.
As Deanna was speaking, or Dita was telling us, that there are, just like allocations of a classroom of how many teachers you have, there's allocation in the bus. In other words, once they do rerouting or changing based on the number, they may not need as many or they may need more. It's a shift, and it's kind of like the time that we talked about. It's a rolling number. It's not always a
set.
That
is fair.
That's a set, not like, okay, we have to have 125 drivers. It's like, that could be 110, could be satisfactory with the route and the number of students being used for this particular time. They've got many different factors they have to look at. So it's not as clean cut as how many teachers and how many students you have, and this is the allocation. It's a floating number. So that's why there was this build of trying to get, and why she, as a bus driver, may not know how many, because that, I mean, as a union president, she may need to know that number. I'm just saying that as a bus driver or as a teacher, you're not always going to know how many teachers we have in our school that we're going to need, because you're focused on what your job is and what you do.
But I wasn't asking her as a bus driver, though.
I know. That's why I said, as the president, she has information about what's needed, but I can tell you that part of what we're learning and working through is what is that allocation that is actual to what is the allocation that is needed, and where are we falling short, and how many more would we need as a sub to help fill in. Those are different factors that come into that number of 25.
Mr. Hoover, one of the things that I'd like to bring up that we are working on, and we've just made some of these decisions recently, we are going to work on a different HR software process the beginning of the year. Sarah's done a really good job vetting. You know, we've migrated to PeopleSoft. I call it PeopleHard. it's been quite challenging. But one of the things that we purchased in the software of 28 modules is an HR piece that we've never configured.
Mm-hmm.
Taleo is a separate add-on that cost us about $170,000 a year to maintain the purchase of the software, which does not interface very well with our system. So we have decided to hook up the HR piece in the software that we've already paid for that cost us nothing and get rid of Taleo. So we are going to be working on that January through March with the go live date of using it April 1. We're not going to get rid of Taleo until we know it works. But in addition, just as you've talked about a dashboard, we are going to build an HR dashboard, because just like Deanna, myself, I shouldn't have to go to Dr. Brown to say how many vacancies do I have. She gives me a report once a week. That's how I get the information.
Right.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense either.
No.
Yeah.
So if we move over, we are going to create a dashboard in HR for that basic information. Now, maybe not all the public has view of that, but key people will have access to that, so that we know how many true vacancies do we have, how many absences do I have, what's the need per position. So it will get better. Unfortunately, that has been a very difficult software to pull reports and really get accurate.
Right, right. But okay, so I think that's great moving forward. But it's still, then in my mind, I think, okay, so when ERP, and I'm just using this as an example, was first brought on, nobody included MTC, the technical college. And then
you're correct.
A year or so later, hey, let's just add that. So, and you know, and it cost an initial $3.5 million just for that piece, and maybe it would have been a little bit less if it was, you know, thought about upfront. And so the same thing with this system.
Yeah.
So we're now, it's always reactive. It's, mm-hmm. it's, and you're again, right. I use this.
No, you're right.
And, mm-hmm. Look, and I'm not putting the blame on you.
Go ahead, put it on.
No, I'd rather.
I like that.
Well, if you are responsible for it, then okay, yes, but I don't know if that's true. I do know your predecessor. I think some of it does belong there because, again, it's just, I use this term during our debates, management by crisis. We're always in a crisis, and then we have to back, and it's just a way of doing business. And when I say business, the education business, even though people think, oh, when you use the school should be run like a business, we don't mean it should be run as a profit center. We mean we want accountability. We want things to be look ahead. We want things to make sense. That's what we mean by that. So
I agree. Not but all these points are valid.
They are. Mm-hmm. But we pre-bought a lot of products. We bought 43 packages. There's no way in hell you could.
Well, okay, so that's my point. But who made the decision to buy 43 in the first place?
Well, I understand. But my point is, we just pre-bought. It isn't that we're late deployed.
Right.
We couldn't have deployed any more than we have deployed.
The other thing
that everybody needs to understand is that Taleo was in place before People Heart was gone.
But it was with the premise that it was a component of this, and they would be seamless because they were both an
oral. That's what we heard. After the fact,
when you turned on the button for it to operate,
it was discovered not so much, especially the same company. But they don't work together.
Are you ever going to use those extra 28? Or maybe 27 now that you found one?
We probably need to remove.
Can you sell them to someone?
That's a great idea. If there's any other takers that want it, maybe we can give them. Yeah.
Okay. What the cost savings will be
is if we're each one of those are there is a cost associated with each one of those software pieces for an annual license fee. So it will be a cost savings to remove any that we find that we're not going to use.
At the last presentation, there was over $500,000 of those type of programs that can be tested.
Yeah, that's good to cut it. Yeah.
And those are annual licenses.
Annual maintenance. Absolutely.
Right.
And then, like you said, maintenance on top of the software.
That's right.
It's like healthcare software.
I don't want to cut off discussion.
Mr. Chairman, before we get to that part, can I circle back just a quick question? When the school board does approve the time for us to come and present, what numbers do you want from us to show up to that meeting?
I can tell you the whole committee is welcome and encouraged to be there.
Welcome versus...
No,
the reality is that if you've been at a school board meeting, which you have lately, finding places for people to be, I would just recommend that we maybe send a small contingent rather than the entire committee. Well, obviously, the committee, everybody's welcome, but...
Well, this will be in a work session. I don't know about...
If it's in a workshop, it doesn't have as big of a crowd generally, so that probably might be a better...
And I think workshop's the right form. Yeah.
Well, then they can ask questions.
It's a little bit more conversational than a board meeting.
They can also save places for you if they've done that best.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I said welcome and encouraged too.
You didn't say required?
No.
Hard to require.
I could say that. It wouldn't matter to say.
And Brady, once you get into a board meeting, after an hour, it'll handle all these people sitting in this room, even our two visitors over there, our reporter and Dr. Brown.
Once you get in, you can't get out.
I got out.
Let's recognize what a great problem.
You announced
it. I did. I'm out here.
Civic engagement.
You had to have a seat.
So you would encourage it?
I would.
All of us.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
And if they're really nice, they'll schedule it early in the meeting so we can leave afterwards.
We could be first on the agenda.
But all the fun seems to start late.
We'll be happy with any time they see.
No, you won't, not really, when you see some of these meetings.
I'm good. Administrative, there's one item I didn't put on the administrative thing, and I don't wanna make a summary judgment myself. There, if you read our charter, it says that, members who have missed three consecutive meetings, will be dismissed from the committee. I have gone back and reconstructed attendance, and nobody here violated that rule. There has been one, but I think it makes sense to make, the charter wasn't adopted until later. So I think we just need to reinforce the rule and understand the rule and let everybody know that, Michelle and I are taking attendance and we've constructed a law.
Doesn't it say without notification of the chair?
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, for the record, Diana wants to leave, but it's a terrible time to leave. Terrible time to leave.
I'm sorry.
But we're gonna count you, we were present.
Thank you for coming. So, if that's.
Chairman, for clarification, that's the committee, it's the full committee meetings that you're.
Yes, just the full committee, no, we're not enforcing all of it. We have good attendance.
Trying to figure out who is it.
No, nobody's in violation. I just didn't want that to slip up on anybody or call in, do whatever you need.
So it's just one, it's just one person that has missed three consecutive?
Yes.
Did you wanna name some?
No, doesn't matter if we're not gonna enforce it. Does it matter if you had a name with it?
If it was before the charter was adopted, then I'll see how we can hold them to a rule we didn't have.
That's fair, that was my ask, because we really haven't.
Have you reached out to this individual?
No, but I'll call him, I'll have a call.
So now we know, we.
Now Dr. Connor can be.
Oh, okay, there it is, ding ding ding.
No big deal, just.
Process of elimination.
Little house cleaning.
No, we're suggesting don't clean.
Do we always have to have it filled?
Well, we still have one empty right now, I believe, right?
Oh, okay, so we don't have to have that spot filled?
Yeah.
Number-wise, okay.
No, we have a spot open though. Okay, we have, subcommittee, I think we've got some work to do now, since we have response to two subcommittees on data. I don't know what your pleasure.
Chairman, I would like to discuss the data analytics committee for their agenda, if we may just focus, on the addition of the increase, the purpose and expected results of the resolution. I know we've discussed, at depth, the recruitment and the retainment of teachers and the measurement of all of that. That is one element of the four elements that we have agreed to monitor.
Yeah.
And so, from the communications committee, we would like to ask the data analytics to take a look at the increasing of the student achievement through their instructional time and after school tutoring, to also look at the, to prepare students for the workforce through expanded career and technical education and STEM programs, and then support charter schools. Those are the additional elements that the communication committee wanted to ensure that we are monitoring, or we've determined what those measurements would be, so that we can work in coordination with the school district to build the dashboard that we all agree upon is measuring exactly what we said we would.
So noted, we're on it, we're gonna, we'll expand out, get all of it.
Plus highly effective.
We got some of that.
Okay.
Mr. Christopher?
Yes, ma'am.
If you would like, in terms of, is the effectiveness of the extra time having an impact on the outcomes? We are completing our second quarter benchmark, assessments this week. When we come back the first of the year, I will have a data disaggregation of the outcomes. We have a pretty good correlation between that and the state assessment scores, based on trends. So if you would like, that would be one report that we could bring back, I could bring back at the next meeting in January to give you anticipated outcomes. I would presume you would want to specifically focus on the 6D elementary schools, all the rest are C and above. That would kind of lend to give you some outcomes, but I will have them for every one of our schools.
And that data is already available on the dashboard.
Yeah, we have an academic dashboard of state scores and attendance and so forth already listed if you go to the district website.
But the benchmark data does not show up on that.
Yeah, we don't click that because that's kind of our in-house.
But aren't some of your D schools already had a year or more of extended time?
They have had some.
That may be something that you need to look at too.
Absolutely. They've had some. Now, what are we doing with the additional resources and time and so forth? I do think the time is a factor. I think it's what helped many of them achieve, you know, satisfaction of getting out of that. It does take, you know, the struggling students more time. It definitely takes more time. And so, but that is something that I could bring back so that you can at least see some outcomes and not have to wait till the end of the year. At least you'll know half a year in what does the data show and the trend show as the outcomes.
Very good. Thank you.
This isn't on the subject, but I think, and Pat will correct me if I'm wrong.
Sure.
Y'all, I think.
She does that to me as well.
I think that we have received confirmation that the board, one of our concerns was, is the board continuing to meet its obligation of core growth in salaries and wages in addition, or addition. Supplement being in addition. And we've received, I think, our first indication and confirmation that's true. The core salaries have been increased 33.33% due to the first quarter hour. So there is embedded in the core salaries an increase commensurate with normal inflation. I was a little anxious about our report overturning something that the board had already done and putting us at odds, but I think that this is confirmation of that.
Well, there are actually two factors that show that the referendum, that the supplement is being paid.
Right.
And then the 15 minutes, the salary schedule was increased by the 15 minutes.
That's right. Yeah.
Prior to the beginning of
now,
the school year. So.
When is a raise not a raise? When you have to work another quarter hour to get it. But that's, that was in the logic of it.
Yeah.
And we'll know whether they maintain their commitment to salaries after negotiations.
That's right. That's right.
That's when we'll prove that. But when I will prove that.
Okay. I guess the subcommittee meeting upcoming would be in January. Is that mm-hmm. And that's been, I think, until the second Tuesday of the month. Is that right?
No. I would hope it would be the second Tuesday of the month. Those are board meeting days, and we'll talk about
you
don't want to
you
do that.
Can't, no, that's why we're.
I already have.
That's why we're here.
Yeah, it's already on the. It was already listed on the calendar.
I already have.
Oh, we have a date. What is it?
Do we?
It was listed January 8th.
January 8th?
Typically, they've been the first Tuesday of the month.
Oh, first? Okay. Yes, January 1st.
Now, I have it on January 8th.
Yeah, I think we discussed that at the last meeting.
So, not January 8th?
Is January 8th the board meeting?
Staff won't be able.
That's what we have. That's what you put on it.
Right, that's what y'all decided at the last meeting.
That's right.
In November, but staff.
Do we make it then the next Tuesday?
Okay. I'm sorry.
So maybe we have to be present.
For a subcommittee.
Oh, for the subcommittee. You don't.
Well, because I'd like to call you around.
Oh, I think so. We've got
work to talk about it internally first before we inform the next set of questions in terms of digesting what we have. But that's up to you.
I don't know, I can tell you, we've got a second round on how we interface. So I'd leave that to Mrs. Jenkins, as to whether she wants to come to that meeting or not.
She can't, I won't be able to.
She won't be there, she just solved your problem.
You're suggesting we should move.
I have to be.
I think go to the next.
We'll get back to you.
Okay.
Dr. Novak suggesting the next Tuesday, the 15th, for a subcommittee meeting.
Move this to the 15th.
Because then, and all the travelers for the holidays, and you're probably back by then.
And then what would be the next committee meeting then?
That is listed as.
22nd.
Yeah, and then go, yeah, well, is that the office?
I don't know.
I think there was a room problem with that, I don't think we have a room available for that. I did not schedule that joint meeting, that committee meeting, because we do not have a conference room available for that time.
For the 15th, for which date?
That would be our regular meeting of the whole group.
The January 15th meeting, we do not have a conference room available.
What if we don't have it on the Tuesday?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Do Wednesday the 9th?
Wednesday?
Wednesday the 9th, the subcommittee.
I'm pretty open to that. So what the committee's pleasure is.
I like Wednesday.
It's a full week after the.
So January 9th and then 16th, is that the, do the Wednesdays?
Yeah.
Does it make it easier?
Do you want us to see if?
Let's just verify that we do, that if, when I had scheduled all of these before, there weren't rooms available, but let me, if you want to keep it on that day, let's.
On which dates?
The 15th.
On 15th?
15th for the committee?
The 15th.
But what about the subcommittee, did you do it on the 9th?
Subcommittee meeting on the 9th. There's an audit committee meeting from 2 to 5.
Okay, I'm calling in, hello, Bob.
Call.
I can check on the 9th for a room here for subcommittee meetings.
That's fine.
Well, there has to be the audit committee meeting, so.
20 people, try to keep your schedule simple.
But is there a better day for you all besides a Tuesday? Because, I mean.
It's just every, the first and, every other Tuesday, the first and the third, three and four meetings?
The second.
Second and fourth.
We'll just go second and fourth and stay out for it.
Second and fourth.
Second and fourth.
They're busy.
I apologize, there's.
Second and fourth is the fourth.
So first and third.
Are good.
But January 1st is the first.
We're not going to do that.
Yeah. Okay, no, it's not true.
Michelle has a lie.
Really?
No.
What if we do the subcommittee meeting back to the week of the 14th and then did the committee meeting the following week or the week of the 28th?
So give the dates again.
So is it Monday?
Well, the week of the 14th, it sounds like the dates are, there's flexibility.
Subcommittee on the 15th.
Which is a Wednesday, is that correct?
That's a Tuesday.
15th on Tuesday?
There's five Tuesdays in January.
So subcommittees on the 15th and then the week later, do the.
Now, the 22nd is a board.
2 weeks, so it's 29th.
29th.
So on.
15th and 29th.
Yes.
That sounds good, let's try that. 2 o'clock?
I will send out calendar invites, so don't put them on your calendar until we have a room confirmed.
And I'm going to take the 8th off, is that correct?
That's right.
And the subcommittee will meet at 2 and the full committee at 3?
Yes.
Subcommittee start at 2?
The subcommittee start at 2 in order to do them in sequence, and then the regular is at 3. Yes?
For clarification, though, the Communications Transparency Committee, well, the next meeting that we have will be with the school district to work on the dashboard. So that may be a different time, is that?
You may just reach out to Heather, is that what you're thinking?
Right, we may just go there or something, yeah.
There's just 2 or 3 of us on the committee, so we'd like to work directly with you.
That'd be fine.
Wherever it's convenient.
and.
If we can, if they do record the meetings, if we can just do one, it just works out really well if we can do the 2 to 5, and, you know, so that the first committee meets 2 to 3, 3 to 4, 4 to 5, because then it's, when we record, have the audio.
It's more efficient.
It's more efficient.
So all the subcommittee meetings are also?
They should be, yes.
Oh, oops.
And Diana, I can't speak for you, but Mr. Stenell put an email out that this is, anybody's open to come to these meetings.
Yes.
But please, I won't tell you not to speak, but let the committee drive the technical list. A lot going on there. Be respectful of her committee's time when she's meeting with staff. That's all I'm saying.
What are you telling me?
Certainly.
You can still talk if you like. I can't tell you, you can't speak up. I'm just telling you, if she's trying to coordinate with staff, give her.
Chairman, I wouldn't mind some clarification on the sunshine of rules for the subcommittees, because they can't take official action of the entire group.
No.
Right.
They can't. Cannot.
So unless otherwise, they then wouldn't be, they wouldn't fall within the purview.
Well, we've interpreted it to be because we've got members of this committee meeting. I think that's the concern, is it not, Michelle?
I'm sorry.
The subcommittee meetings are still subject to sunshine because we have members of this committee that are meeting together to make decisions. So it is subject to notice. Subcommittee meetings are subject.
If you're talking about things that are going to come back to the committee for a vote, then yes. Because, I mean, if you're talking amongst yourselves and you're going to bring this information back to this committee for a vote, then you need to be taking minutes of those meetings and everything else.
Anything
that's been our goal. But David raised the question. I'm trying to answer it.
But at that time, wouldn't it then release the shade? And at that point, it would be...
Anything that could end up on the agenda of this committee has to be in the sunshine.
Understood.
And that includes the subcommittee.
Yes, but a progress report. Okay, I think my question is answered. I just, for ease of access to both professional staff and to coordinate schedules, that was my question, it sounds like.
That's how, I'm not
understood.
An expert on it.
Understood.
I've been around it for a pretty long time.
Right. When in doubt, err on the side of caution. Right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Fair question, though.
Okay, we are going to have the committee meeting on the 29th at the SSC. This building is closed for renovations that week, so, but I think we do have a room big enough for everyone, so I will verify that and send it out, but it will be at the other building. It won't be here. That's our committee meeting. I think we're okay for the subcommittee meeting, but again, I'll send out the invitation once I confirm that.
Thank you.
Any items for the agenda for next meeting?
I have an,
yes.
Not for next meeting, actually for this meeting, but I'll wait to...
No, okay. Go ahead.
One of the board members brought up a couple board meetings ago, and this is something within the purview of this committee, because it's dealing with referendum dollars, but state law says that every revenue that comes in this district, 3% has to be set aside for reserves. And I would like to propose that we as a committee make a recommendation, because we don't get to decide, the board, school board gets to decide, that we make a recommendation to, and that it is the opinion of this committee that the reserve amount and anything associated with those TANs, the tax advancement notes, costs associated with that, should come off the top of the referendum, and then the remaining gets distributed throughout. Because right now, there is, they're taking, at least I think they're planning on taking money for the reserves out of the general budget. Well, that doesn't make any sense. This is referendum related. The costs associated with those short-term notes and the 3% reserve, and it should come off the top. So I would like to make a motion that we merely are recommending to the board that we think it is appropriate as a committee that the 3% reserve requirement on any referendum dollars come in, plus the costs associated with any tax advancement notes, be taken off the top, and then the distribution goes. So that's my motion. I would ask for a second.
You're responsible to vote on it, this committee at this particular time, without further information. I think it would be more appropriate to make it an agenda item. That way we all can gather information. This is the first I've heard of this.
Yeah, I had emailed
it's
Michelle.
It's merely a recommendation. To
no,
the board,
I understand.
But that's fine, yeah.
I don't want to, I think before we vote or you ask us to vote, we should have the information.
Well, that's fine. Does anyone have any questions regarding this subject matter?
How much money are you talking about for this 3%?
Well, 3% of the 33 million is about
37.
Yeah, but and again, I'm glad. So originally, the public was with the understanding that $33 million was going to be raised, but really now it's going to turn out 37. So we have more money, and it's only about $1 million, I believe, to answer your question.
$1.2 million.
Sure. So the money is there, and it makes sense. I can't even think of the plausibility of why we would take it from the general fund. It's referendum related. It's a state law that requires 3% be put in reserves. I just can't see any, and if anyone has any notion of why, I would love to hear it, because I'm open to...
Yeah, I'd ask the question, is there anything specific in state law that says for all dollars, or is the millage, could that be specifically excluded? I don't know. I mean, I'll use an example. Are other counties that have a millage, are they taking a reserve off of their millage before?
This goes to what?
I don't disagree with you. There's just too many questions.
I believe it's total, but that goes to what Steve
I just
says.
Want
we need to do our own. Yes, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, if we're already doing tax anticipatory notes on it, then I would say yes, you have to take the 3%. Would be my understanding that it goes into the full pot. So
right.
It goes into the general.
I think so. Now let me ask you this.
That there's somebody here who could answer some questions. Heather knows the answer.
It's 3%
questions.
Well, no,
all new general fund revenue and the millage does go into the general fund pot. So
yeah,
it does increase the amount.
The exception.
It's $1,100,000.
Now the school board, the local district has made a policy that exceeds 3%, I think. Is that right?
We have to have at least 3%, and our goal is to have 5%.
That's my question. So, and this is why we may need some discussion, more information, but is it the school board's position to reserve 5% of this also? Is it the total revenue 5% going?
I don't know the answer to what the school board wishes to
do. See, I don't think we should anticipate what the school board thinks. We as a committee independently should give our opinion to them, and then they can take it or leave it. But I would love it to be 5%, because that is the goal of our, but I was proposing 3, because just because that's the state minimum.
Right.
Yeah.
5% reserve is not too much.
I'm happy to.
So are the funds already being captured for that then? So if all revenue in this being, in the millage money is included in all revenue, and we're taking the 5% out, is it already being captured?
Not for millage dollars.
It's being subsidized.
Mr. Christopher is correct.
And should it be subsidized?
It's in conflict with their agreement that says all of the dollars will be spent.
Those
monies are already committed.
Yeah, their memorandum, if you recall.
And not just mine. I mean, the board, the commitment of the board when the referendum was passed was in conflict with what Garen is recommending. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Well, I don't think
let's
go back a little bit. And we don't have to discuss, we can put it on the agenda.
That's why,
you know,
why I think it's a good idea to put it on the agenda, because I don't think it's going to just be an easy vote. I think there's gonna be considerable amount of discussion.
You can share your additional information though, Darren, if you'd like. I mean, I'm.
Well, so Pat, what, identify specifically why you think.
Well, if we're gonna put it on the agenda, let's discuss it at the time of the agenda.
Okay, well,
I think so.
I was trying to respond.
There was a half hour left. I'm kind of interested now.
But.
It's an important issue.
I'm not prepared to vote on it.
The board hasn't even agreed to discuss it.
I move that we put this issue on the next agenda. Do I have a second to that?
Second.
All in favor?
Yes. Later.
And I'm writing it down. And I did email Michelle, and I'm sorry I didn't get those.
That's okay. She, you love you, man.
Chair Christopher, just procedurally, we do have a motion and a second.
Yes, I'm sorry. Call the question. All in favor?
Aye. Thank you.
That's on continue it to next.
Thank you. Thank you, Dave. We need a parking chair. Okay. Any other items for the agenda?
We'll have reports.
Well, I think our committee reports will be more complete.
Yes. I have a, just a, someone, Steve probably can answer this, maybe, but, because I don't use Outlook.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's a mechanism that I can go into my school district email account and push all those emails to my personal email. Is that a fair statement?
Well, I don't know if you want to do that, to be quite honest with you. You probably want to keep school board business as part of the school board email. Because if you, for some reason, I save them.
I save them under a separate account.
No,
anyway,
but
you,
your personal computer could potentially be subpoenaed.
So.
For those records, so it would be.
Yeah,
I'm not a lawyer though.
Yeah. No, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah. you can probably.
Ain't no lawyer.
You are a lawyer though, aren't you?
So I just want to know, is there a way to push the, does anyone know that?
There is a way, I'm sure, to do an auto forward, yes.
There is.
Is anyone doing it, utilizing that?
Michelle, can you add a direct email? So that when we email him, it goes both to his school board address and his private. No.
It goes to the, any business having to do with this committee goes to your district email accounts.
Okay. Right. But Michelle, do you know if there's a way to push that once it, you know, that I can personally code in mine, it'll push it to another email?
Auto forward.
Yeah, an auto forward. Okay, no, that's fine. Yeah, I'll call the. Whoever's helped us.
In fact, it's been some time when I could get it over there.
I thought with these computer whiz and using Outlook.
I don't do it. If you just Google Office 365, Outlook, auto forward, it'll give you a tutorial.
Okay, all right.
There you go. You watch YouTube tonight.
I thought it would be so much easier if you just tell me.
I didn't figure it out.
I don't know Outlook. I don't know Office 365 well enough to
set it up. Yeah. You're out. If you use Outlook, you can set up an account.
No, I don't use Outlook, and now I'm being forced to use it, which is fine. You know, I just don't know much about it.
It wasn't too hard to figure out on
Gmail,
so I think you could probably figure it out.
Just Google it. You'll figure it out. Yeah. They'll show you.
Okay. I'll go to YouTube. There'll be a tutorial there.
Everything's on YouTube.
Is there any comments from other attendees for the meeting? Nothing. Well, is there a motion?
I make a motion. We adjourn.
Second.
Second. We have a second. All
Who was
favor?
The second? Oh, thank you.
Everybody.
All my husband always asking me.
Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Thanks, everybody. Happy holidays.